Welcome to the Capital Podcast, the podcast for the International Association of Business Communicators, D.C. Metro Chapter. We strive to bring you innovation, motivation, and education. I am your host, Damian Skinner. Let's begin the show.
Today we have Robert Udowitz and Steve Drake, principals with the consulting firm RFP Associates. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Can you give us a little bit about what exactly you do?
Thank you so much, Damian, for giving us an opportunity to speak to the agencies out there that respond to RFPs. Our company, Steve and I, created about a year ago. We specialize in helping companies manage the process of selecting the right public relations, public affairs, or digital firm to achieve their communication goals. RFP Associates starts by defining the scope of work, crafting an extensive RFP, identifying the best and most qualified agency candidate firms, and then we support the decision-making process to help our clients make the best selection. We're on the web at rfpassociates.net.
Let me ask you, since you guys focus in on the RFP process, now personally I've never participated in the RFP. I've heard about them. They're this thing that other people do. Tell me, how can an agency find out about an RFP? Where do they go? Where do they get this information to actually be included or to participate in the RFP?
It's a good question, Damian. And let me first start off by also saying that Steve and I began our firm because we know of the frustration that exists on both sides of the fence. Companies, organizations are creating RFPs in a vacuum. They don't necessarily know the agencies that they should include. They don't necessarily understand maybe the scope of work and the structure that they should have in their RFPs. And it on the other side of the fence, it becomes sort of difficult for agencies that are responding to these RFPs. They don't necessarily know all the details because they're left out. So as an honest broker, Steve and I come in and help the company create their RFPs to basically make sure that it satisfies what the agency needs and also gets to the heart of what the companies are seeking out. The agencies need to really get on the radar screen of companies or organizations like ours. They need to be involved in the industries, the vertical industries that may require them to be out there. They need to ensure they're on the agency lists and resources, such as those in the PR industry like PR Week or Jack O'Dwyer's, et cetera. They need to join and be active in professional groups such as IABC, PRSA, the Council of PR Firms. They have to make efforts to really have a profile in the industries that they're targeting the most in order to be considered for an RFP as a candidate. And they also need to contact search firms such as RFP Associates to make sure they're on our radar screen. And we have a form on our website that sort of pre-screens agencies through an RFQ process.
So you guys not only help with the process, but you're also a good, source to find out what RFPs are out there and what people are looking for.
We're always looking for good agencies. The RFQ, filling out an RFQ for us is important and valuable, but we're always sort of, we're on social media. We're looking, we're reading the trades, we're knowing what the dynamic is out there. We can't anticipate what our next client will need, so we're always making sure we're aware of what agencies are out there.
Okay. Well, let's say one of these agencies, you know, they find out about an RFP. They know that someone's asking for work. They're needing an agency to come in and do some work for them. What are some of the primary concerns that an agency should be concerned with when they're responding to an RFP?
Well, Damian, when Robert and I put together our firm, RFP Associates, we did, before we actually launched the company, we spent a lot of time speaking with both potential clients, those who would be hiring agencies, but we also spent an equal amount of time, if not more, speaking with the agencies themselves and asking that same question. You know, what do you think about the RFP process and you know, how do you respond? And interestingly, you know, there is... a lot of consistency in the responses from the agencies, and unfortunately, a lot of negative consistency, meaning, you know, a lot of folks complained about the fact that, you know, they were being considered for a, you know, $50,000 a month program, and the RFP was a page and a half. So, you know, virtually no information or, you know, a bare-bones sort of scope of work. Others were distressed because, you know, they would receive an RFP and there would be a deadline of, you know, 2 weeks from now you need to give us, you know, a full-blown proposal. One issue that is almost across the board a complaint or criticism on the part of agencies, which we try to address with our clients, is to include the budget in the RFP. To us, it makes little sense for an organization to put out a request for proposals and then be secretive about the budget. Because A, they're going to get, you know, they're going to get answers all over the map from, you know, responses from different agencies, and it doesn't allow the responding agencies to put forth their best foot forward. Others agencies also are concerned that, you know, the RFP process is rigged. That, you know, in fact, then there's a certain level of distrust there, unfortunately, where organizations, you know, or the agencies rather, feel as though organizations know ahead of time who they want to hire, and they're just sort of going through the motions with this RFP. So, you know, across the board, by and large, there are criticisms of the RFP process, and one of the things that we are doing with our clients is ensuring that, as Robert just said, that things are fair for the hiring entities as well as for the agencies.
Okay. All right. So at this point, like you say, there's frustrations on both sides. Sometimes not enough information is given. Sometimes not enough deadline is given, that sort of thing. When agencies find themselves and they have the RFP and that sort of thing, and they maybe don't have enough information, they maybe don't have enough time, What's the best way for them to respond to the RFP as they have it?
Sure. Basically, what I would counsel agencies to do is to be, you know, pretty aggressive in either pushing for asking the kinds of questions or addressing the criticisms that I just mentioned to you. You know, first, an agency should ask whether this is, you know, that as described, the information or the scope of work is something that they truly are qualified to handle. So the first questions they should ask are of themselves. You know, is this a client and a project that we want to involve ourselves with? Number two, the question should go back to the issuing organization. If there isn't a budget, if there is a skimpy scope of work, push for that information first before you put a lot of time and effort into doing your research or developing creative. And quite frankly, if the answers to those are, you know, you get what you get, we're not going to give you any information beyond what's in the RFP, then as an agency, I would say the agency needs to seriously consider whether they want to, you know, move forward with responding to it. If the answer to both those questions is yes, that, you know, we have the information and we do think that we qualify to respond, then number three, I always advise agencies to, you know, thoroughly research the client both through traditional as well as unorthodox ways, and get to know the potential client and their sector in as many different ways as you can, and you know, ask as many questions as you can, not necessarily just of the client itself, but also of folks in and around that particular sector. So again, I think you know, from an agency's point of view, you need to sort of stand up for yourself first, foremost, and always when you receive an RFP. And that's not to say that every RFP is going to be, you know, poorly developed or poorly written, but it is to say that, you know, you're being asked to devote a lot of time, a lot of resource to responding. Make sure that, A, you want to respond, and, B, make sure you have the information up front to allow that response to be as professional and thorough as you can.
Okay, wonderful. And I'm glad, you know, I did have that question. You know, when you get the RFP in front of you, just like I do some communications plans, people say, oh, we want to start a communications plan for this year. You know, I often say, okay, what is my checklist? What's the first thing that I need to have under my belt? And I'm glad you definitely responded to that even before I even asked. And you said the first thing the agency should do is to pretty much ask themselves, do we want this business? And I think that's a great point. And I think a lot of times people see sometimes just the opportunity, but it's like, is this the right opportunity for our business? And I think that's a great point. Let's say you get the RFP, you want to do the business, you got the time to do it. how much spec? I used to work in advertising, and we would get these we get new clients in. We have to do a lot of spec work and really getting to know and understand what the agency or the client wants. How much spec work and how many hours should the agency plan to invest in responding to an RFP? I mean, is there a standard? Is it varied? Like, what should this person looking at the RFP, how much time should they look to invest?
Well, I don't know if we need to define spec work first, Damien, because in the public relations industry, it's a little bit different. Yes, there's a required expectation that you're going to put in a reasonable amount of hours to respond to the RFP. But in terms of spec, which is usually defined as creative, in the PR industry, it's not really the same as advertising. Right. However, having said that, with the world's merging these days and plenty of PR agencies doing creative, it's not unheard of that there is a possibility that that will be required as part of the RFP. What I would suggest, first of all, to a client is not to require any agency to do spec work without offering some type of compensation, which I know is common or should be common in the advertising world. And I also would suggest that that they understand that even intellectual creativity and ideas and suggestions that are in the response are also something that they don't necessarily have to be compensated for, but have to be protected. And all of our clients, we make sure that they express to the agencies that everything is confidential on both ends and that no work that's being provided or being responded to in an RFP from an agency will be used for anything else. It's the agency's intellectual property, and that won't be touched.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, because I never even considered the intellectual property portion of that. Wonderful. You have the RFP, you've done the budget, you've done some spec work, you're ready to go in and present and really wow this client. What are some things that you would want to highlight as the agency to the requesting organization? And also, I know sometimes people like to take almost like the whole agency in with you. You know, you like to have your crew go in with you to prove how innovative and cool that you are. Who should be in the room doing that presentation, and what should you highlight in that presentation?
Well, it's very critical that the team members participate in the actual presentation. One of the points that we do make to our clients is at the end of the day, chemistry is going to be very important. So you anticipate that the team that will be working on your account will be in the room. There could be someone there from new business sort of as a facilitator or taking on some other kind of role, but at the end of the day, you need to have the full team there in front of you so the client could be introduced to the team. What I also think it's important also when we advise our clients is that they pose a different kind of question or ask the agency to elaborate on something that was in the RFP to be part of the presentation. You don't want the presentation to be merely a repeat of what was actually said in the actual response to the RFP. So it's important to get those elements there. What I do like to emphasize to agencies in particular is not just simply for the presentation, but also for the response to the RFP, is to make sure that they are really giving a clear narrative of and demonstrate that they are going to be a proactive agency. And they're not necessarily going to just simply respond to what the client needs, but they're also going to be there as a partner. And they're going to show that they are going to be a good thought resource to a client. Oftentimes, we have clients that are saying, I'm begging the agency to be smarter than me. I need them to give the perspective that I'm not maybe aware of, and that's why I'm hiring them. So it's important that that comes through, of course, in the response, and then no doubt it needs to come through in the actual presentation.
I would also add, Damien, that you know sometimes asking good and smart questions of the potential client organization, and I'm talking now about the agencies going in there, not only sort of providing color commentary on the proposal and, you know, as Robert said, showing proactivity, you know, demonstrating who the team is going to be, but actually asking smart questions. Sometimes that can make a real impression on a hiring organization. You know, and by smart questions, I mean well thought out, well researched questions about the particular either client or sector.
Well, gentlemen, I think that pretty much covered. Do you think that covers pretty much the RFP process? Is there anything else that you would think would be important for agencies to know when getting and responding to RFPs that maybe we haven't covered at this point?
Well, one thing I should have mentioned earlier that when you asked about what kind of comments or criticisms do agencies have about RFPs, and that we are frankly pushing with our clients on the hiring side is typically agencies do not know who their competition is, and we actually counsel our clients that unless there are specific reasons to do so, that that they're rather open about who the agencies are. And that raises eyebrows, I think, sometimes on both the hiring side as well as the agency side. But it's our feeling, based on our work and again on all the research we did before we opened RFP Associates, that an open and fair playing field includes knowledge of who your competitors are. You know who you're playing against, and that in turn will more often than not result in frankly better, higher quality responses and creativity when it comes time to respond, since you know who you're competing against.
I did want to add that, oftentimes the agencies are asked to give specific case studies demonstrating the client work that they've done. And I can't overemphasize enough how important that is. And even if an agency maybe doesn't fully have experience in that space, they really need to elaborate really what they've done similarly for another client that makes the compelling argument that they should be considered. And then more to that point, if they're going to reference clients and case studies in the RFP response, then they also need to make sure that they include them as part of the reference list, because there's a disconnect that we've had sometimes when an agency does not include or decides not to mention a particular client as a reference, but yet they've mentioned the client or they've peppered them throughout the response.
Okay. Well, let me ask you really quick, because I was reading in Forbes, they had a great article about recruiting executives, and this kind of reminds me of a new business pitch, or even like, as you say, a hiring. So they're more like hiring an agency. And they said the top three questions, they said that kind of everything else falls off of these are, will you love the work? Can you do the work? And can we tolerate working with you? Would you say if an agency had to really kind of break this down into, now, of course, they have to respond to the RFP as it's given, but if they kind of think about it in those three questions, do you think they would be able to flush it out and to kind of cover everything that they would think about in an RFP and what the hiring organization is really looking to figure out?
It's interesting, Damien, that you use the parallel, the example of sort of an executive hire. And I'm going to answer your question first from the perspective of our clients and our potential clients and the hiring entity. And, quite frankly, one of the things we say is, if an organization were to hire, let's say, three public relations executives whose, total salaries would be, $50,000 a month, right? Chances are the human resources department is going to take, months to vet, candidates and to look into their backgrounds and, see what their Facebook pages have to say and to take them through all the interview process. Quite frankly, that same amount of money sometimes, use $50,000 as just a sort of an example. If an organization does not take this RFP process that we've just been speaking with you about seriously, they're risking hiring an agency into whose hands that part of their reputation they're going to put. And if the RFP is done sort of haphazardly and it's done quickly and, we need to get an agency in here in a matter of a couple of weeks, there's a disconnect there, at least for me, and I would think for the hiring entities as well. So I don't know if that answers your question directly, but I think from the perspective of the hiring entity, we're counseling, and frankly, that's the services we're offering to clients. We're counseling that they take this process seriously and do a thorough job. That's not to say that they have to take 6 or 8 months to hire an agency, but they do need to take more than a couple of weeks in a two-page RFP.
Right.
And if I can add, Steve, I think that the passion an agency has does come through in their response, and it should. I mentioned earlier about the chemistry And I think that that's one of the reasons why the face-to-face final presentation is so important, because the agency needs to express to the client how they feel, not only about working for the client, but also how they feel about their jobs, how they feel about their industry, and really, really convey what it is that they feel so passionate about.
Very good. Yeah, because it's hard to sell something you don't believe in.
Correct.
So I believe that is pretty much all the time, unless you have anything else to add toward the end there.
No, to learn a little bit more about RFP Associates, we recommend that agencies and hiring entities alike check us out at rfpassociates.net. And for those agencies that are listening, certainly, as Robert said earlier, we invite you to complete our online RFQ, or request for qualifications information for our database.
Thank you for this opportunity, Damien. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And IABC thanks you for spending time with us.
And thank you for listening. That's our show for today. Please go to the IABC DC Metro Chapter's blog, capital-cast.x.iabc.com, to read the first installation of the RFP series that looked at the RFP process from the organization's point of view. For more information about the IABC DC Metro Chapter, please visit us on the web at iabcdcmetro.org. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and connect with us on LinkedIn.